The Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We pick up the theme once again today that the Son of God in human flesh is our great high priest. In several different places in the letter to the Hebrews, the writer presents some aspect of the work of Christ, the great high priest. Looking back across the centuries and across human cultures from virtually every corner of planet Earth, it is striking to note that human beings have shown consistently the nagging awareness that there is a problem that exists between God or the gods and human beings, and that this problem requires an office which functions as a go-between, a mediator, an intercessor between God and human beings. This is a part of that awareness of the law which St. Paul describes in the letter to the Romans, that law that is written into the hearts of all human beings. It provides an awareness that all is not well with human beings when they consider their relationship to the forces which are at work in the world around them and the eternity that stretches before them. In the light of that awareness, what have human beings done, unaided by God's revelation? Well, they have tried in various ways to create offices or positions that might have access to and influence over the spirit realm so that good will come for human beings and not evil. Over the last 150 to 200 years, archaeologists who have worked in Mesopotamia, Egypt, and surrounding areas have discovered many different kinds of written texts connected with the various categories of writing that human beings produce: business records, international treaties, letters of correspondence, epic poetry, entertaining stories, chronicles of the reigns of ancient monarchs, collections of proverbs, and the list goes on. But what category of literature from the ancient world, in comparison to these other categories mentioned, makes up the largest volume of material turned up by the spade of the archaeologist? What would you guess? Well, it's a category that deals with things like these: necromancy, hepatoscopy, extispicy, lebanomancy, lacanomancy, bellomancy, and narromancy, and teratoscopy. So what are all of those things? Well, they belong to the broad category of divination, the various ways that human beings have devised to know about and to influence the spirit realm. And the practitioners of these things were people who held in various cultures titles that often gets translated as priest. Under the Old Testament, all these things were in the category of abomination. These were things that were to fill the people of Israel with loathing, disgust, and revulsion. But God provided for his people an understanding of the office of priest, which was rooted in his own command and promise, not one derived from human imagination and ingenuity. And that priesthood which God instituted found its fulfillment and its culmination in the person of the Son of God in human flesh, the Christ, the Savior. And it is his priesthood which the letter to the Hebrews sets forth before us. Listen to a few of the expressions from various parts of the letter to Hebrews about Christ as the great high priest. He was called and sent by God to be high priest. He is a merciful and faithful high priest. He is a high priest who was made like his brethren, like other human beings. He is a high priest who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Our reading for today from Hebrews chapter 4 sums all these things up about our high priest simply by saying, we have a great high priest. His greatness in this office puts him in a category all by himself. He differs from other high priests not simply by doing the work of a priest more or in a better manner than anyone else, but by virtue of the fact that he and he alone does the work which God appointed for his high priest to do. And that work was to acquire redemption from sin, death, the curse of the law, and the power of the devil for all people. He is the God-appointed mediator between alienated humanity and the Creator. What is he like? Note the description of his way of dealing with us mortals. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. He is not alien and aloof from us, incapable of comprehending what it is like to be weak and mortal in a fallen world. And that is so because he is one with us in his humanity. He was made like his brethren, like us, partaking of our flesh and blood. And once more, he was in all points tempted as we are. He knows the experience of human beings, the forces that come to bear on them that would draw them deeper and deeper into alienation from God. He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. There is no human experience in temptation, grief, or sorrow which he has not known. One of the Psalms puts it this way, he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. But there is one crucial difference between him and us. He remained without sin. In the face of all temptation, he remained the holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, high priest of God. The great high priest is one who both knows our human frailty and retains a perfect holiness that allows him to enter into the presence of God as our mediator. And there he presents himself both as the undefiled high priest and the spotless sacrificial lamb who takes away the sin of the world. This high priest passed through the heavens, our reading says. This is an allusion, a reference to something from the Old Testament, to the tabernacle. On the great day of atonement, the Old Testament high priest passed through the veil, the curtain which separated the holy place from the most holy place, and sprinkled the divinely appointed sacrificial blood on the lid of the Ark of the Covenant. Christ, with his own sacrificial blood, passed through the heavens into the presence of God and made satisfaction for the sins of the world. In him, God's work of reconciling the world to himself is finished. Now, since these things are true, that we have a great high priest who is sympathetic to us, one who was tempted as we are and yet remained without sin, and a high priest who has passed through the heavens into the presence of God to bring about our reconciliation with God, the writer of the letter to the Hebrews draws two conclusions, and they come in the form of exhortations to us, words of encouragement and urging. The first is this: let us hold fast to our confession. Don't let go. Hang on to this truth, that God in human flesh is our great high priest, and that he has done all to bring about our reconciliation to the Father. And another word of encouragement: let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Access to God's grace has been won for us. The veil of separation has been removed. All barriers are broken down. Without our high priest, we would have to cower and flee from the presence of God in terror. But now we have a great high priest who gives boldness and confidence. The mercy of God is yours. His grace is yours. Blessed are you in knowing Christ, our great high priest. Amen.